Welcome to the Lead Defend Podcast, a show designed to help you grow in faith and leadership as you navigate the stages of young adulthood. We address important faith topics and provide practical life tips, helping you build up your faith as you engage a changing culture. Now, here are your hosts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Lead Defend. This is Brock, and we are without Ryan today. But who I do have with me today as my temporary co-host is the Warren G. What's going up, Warren?
Come on. The Warren G.
The Warren G.
I love it when people just really pay homage where it's due.
Warren, real fast, tell the people who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so I'm the team leader for evangelism and church health. I've been at the convention for about 10 years. I've worked with student ministries and several camps, including Super Summer along the way. And now I'm moving into this team leader position, so I'm really excited for what lies ahead.
I first met Warren whenever I was going to Super Summer. I was a camo school camper.
No way.
In 2010.
You just did that, didn't you?
I was a camo school camper in 2010, which is appropriate for us to mention because today we're going to be interviewing Bill Newton, who has kind of been the mastermind. Is it fair to say that you birthed camo school?
Yeah, that's fair. You can say that.
That's kind of a weird way to say.
Yeah,
but
that's okay.
He's also an avid Batman fan. So I want to start with the serious question.
Yeah.
If Batman and Superman were really in a fight, take out all the movies, all that. This is just Bill Newton. Batman versus Superman, you have 30 seconds to make your case. Who wins and why?
Well, Batman, because aliens aren't real and Superman's an alien. Batman is real.
Okay.
So Batman wins.
Okay.
Did you just go worldview?
I was about to say, I have a lot more questions, but
justify.
I don't know that we have time for that. So, hey, Bill, just real fast, give people kind of an idea of who you are, what you've done, and what you're doing.
Yeah, so Bill Newton, I got called to ministry in mid-90s or so. Served on staff at Lone Oak Baptist Church as youth and children's, and then served at First Baptist Hot Springs for the last 15 years and getting ready to transition onto the team here with Warren. I mostly have focused on youth ministry my last few years. My title at First Baptist Hot Springs has been Generations Pastor, where I got to work with students, but not day-to-day. But I got to work with all the age groups, do men's ministry, women's ministry stuff, along with working with our kids and students and college students and grandparents and all kinds of ages. So that was a great experience. I really, really enjoyed that position.
Yeah, you bring a lot of experience and years of ministry to the table. But at the beginning of all that, you said that you were called. You were called into ministry. What does that really mean? I think people who have been in church for a while, they hear this language about calling. Do all of us have a calling, or only some of us called? Can you be in a kind of explain what you mean by being called?
Yeah, so Jeff Orge, who wrote a great book called Is God Calling Me, one of my favorite books on call to ministry, he breaks that down and basically talks about three different ways that all Christians are called. My call was specifically what he would call vocational ministry or career ministry, working inside the walls of the church or like a professional ministry paid position. But all believers, he says, have what he calls a universal call to salvation. He said that's probably 98% of all believers who are called to represent Christ in their given vocation. And so, which is huge. I said, even in all my years of youth ministry, some of the best youth pastors I knew were not guys like me who were paid staff, but guys who were coaches of ball teams, you know, ladies who were English teachers who got to be Jesus to kids in a way that I never got to as the paid youth pastor of a church.
That's really cool. So as you're looking at your specific call, what were some of the ways that you knew that God was specifically calling you to the ministry that you did?
So in Orge's book, he talks about three different ways that people are called. Some people are called through all three of those means. Some people are called through one. I was one who was all three. So the super short version is I was actually in nursing school. I was actually working on a master's in nursing at UAMS here in Little Rock. When I had some health issues, God pulled me out of that. And about the same time I was debating about whether or not to drop out of nursing school, I just felt this voice, for lack of a better phrase, in the back of my head, saying I was being called to ministry, which really kind of flipped me out, quite honestly, because that was nowhere on my radar ever. And so it took a couple of years to confirm that, but dropped out of nursing school, got involved with the church here in Little Rock. It was a large church, and they had one full-time youth pastor, and he had like 125, 150 students.
Wow.
And just was drowning and needed some help. So God just opened the door for me to teach 8th grade Sunday school, and fell in love with teaching students and fell in love with youth ministry. And he let me fill in a couple of times on Wednesday nights, and I started leading some junior high small groups. And in the process of that, was just beginning to pray through, like, are you calling me to vocational ministry, or are you calling me just to be, you know, the best youth volunteer that ever lived? Because I'll be happy to do either one. And as I was praying through that, I just started having some parents come up, and they go, have you ever thought about, like going into full-time ministry? Like, my kid loves your teaching, like, loves coming to your small group. And so for me, it was kind of that sudden moment where I had to drop out of nursing school, but it took a couple of years for that, what Orge would call this reason process, to happen, of a couple of years of confirmation. And so in 98, went back to school and got a Bib Studies degree, and here I sit.
That's good. No, Warren, you've worked a lot with students. You've helped, you know, train leaders, and right now it seems like a lot of people are speaking about calling. Mm-hmm. I know we've had Shane Pruitt at the convention multiple times, and he's written a book called Calling Out the Called. He talks about needing to call out the called more. When people look and say that there are fewer and fewer people that seem to be called, we're seeing almost a vacuum in ministry. There's all these open positions. Why do you think that is? Yeah. Why are we seeing fewer people being called? Or is it that fewer people are being called and we just don't see them?
Yeah, and really, that's God's mind. Yeah. And we can't discern a lot of that, but I will say that there are obstacles, especially for guys being called into ministry today, that we need to discuss and maybe find some,
that's a great...
yeah, find some workarounds. One of those obstacles is the idea of commitment. So we live in a culture that struggles with loyalty, struggles with commitment, struggles with that, that putting your name on the dotted line kind of thing. And really, we've grown this up in our culture because we've seen so much breaking of commitment.
Yeah.
And you see that in all sorts of different phases of life. But, you know, if anybody's out there that would be listening to this podcast in particular on calling, I'd ask them to think through commitment and loyalty and what that looks like, and maybe how to move past that fear. Because there is no greater calling, in my estimation, than the calling to vocational ministry. And then the second thing that I would say is that this culture is leading us to this cynical view of leadership. Mm-hmm. Think about all of the positions in the world that deal with humans, humanity in particular, and how many people are moving away from that. Mm-hmm. Education, they're looking for teachers, yeah, left and right.
Yeah.
Nursing, ministry. Those positions where there is a great deal of responsibility, but a lack of authority, yet an opportunity for a lot of cynicism, students are looking at that and going, man, I don't want to get involved in that. Why would I sign up for something where there's a lot of expectation on me, but at the end of the day, I'm just going to take shots,
yeah,
from folks? And I think we need to back up and think about that a little bit. Because now it's more lucrative to go into like a computer science degree.
Right.
And there, listen, you can do a lot with that and you can minister. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But they're going towards a six-figure job that does not deal with people. And we can't continue to run from people. Mm-hmm. We've got to deal with each other at some point. And then the third thing that I see, especially when it comes to guys, is the issue of pornography, specifically guilt from pornography. That's it. That's just keeping a lot of guys from that guilt factor of being in those traps and not being able to break out is really keeping guys from joining up.
Yeah, Bill, when you see, you know, obstacles to men and women to come into leadership, what are some things that you're seeing that could keep people now? Most of our listeners are between the ages of 18 to 25. What are things that they need to identify in their lives that now, that if they want to be leaders, they feel like they could be called, that they need to try to get those obstacles out and deal with them now rather than later on when they're in a leadership position?
Yeah. So along with those things that Warren said, I would echo those quite a bit. I think the shame from the pornography is a big deal in talking with guys. I think the commitment thing. I also think one of the other biggest factors is there is little room for silence for people to hear from God.
Yeah.
And there's no way for people to – well, I shouldn't say there's no way – it's hard for people when there's constant noise and we're not in the practice of silence to be able to fill that call. Mm-hmm. And some of that also comes into the leadership type thing. I think there are some who, because of the busyness of their lives, because of how overcommitted we are and how much time, honestly, is wasted on social media, that we spend hours and hours with that, that there's no space in there for people to develop as leaders. I think it's easier, kind of tagging off some things Warren said, but it's easier just to show up and let somebody else lead.
Yeah. So someone's listening to this podcast, they feel called, they want to lead. You've told them what they need to be kind of aware of to kind of start cutting out of their lives. What are some other things they need to start doing proactively that will make them the leader tomorrow that they're desiring to be today?
So one of the things that I encourage people to do is look at somebody in your life. Who's somebody you would look to and you would say, I want to be a follower of Jesus in the way that person's a follower of Jesus. I want to be passionate about Jesus the way that person is. I want to be a leader of people the way that that person is. I want to be the kind of husband or wife that that person is. Identify that person, because I think we all have people in our life that we would say that about.
Yeah.
And offer to take them to a coffee. Offer to buy them lunch. And just say, you are someone who inspires me to be a better follower of Jesus. Or someday when I get married, I want to be the kind of father that you are or the kind of wife that you are. Mm-hmm. Can I take you to lunch? Can I buy you coffee? And just pick your brain for an hour and just ask you some questions about your own relationship with Jesus, about models in your life. I think for me, at least, that has been one of the best ways to learn, because it's super practical. I mean, you're going to get an hour lesson in the School of Hard Knocks. Like, mm-hmm. It's like people are going to say, here's some things I learned from people in my life, but they're also going to say, here's some things that I've learned from some of the mistakes I made, and they can help you avoid some of those pitfalls.
That's really helpful.
Yeah.
That's really practical.
Yeah. And areas of serving. You know, people just need to jump in and find areas of service and watch as God uses them and look, capitalize on those places where they do find God's favor, God's hand. If it is in a manner of teaching, of leadership, of preaching even, man, you need to continue to walk down those roads.
Yeah.
Take what God gives you and walk with that.
Yeah. So if I hear y'all right, you're not saying, hey, if you feel called, wait until you have the position in the future start doing that. It's like, hey, figure out a way to start doing it now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Start looking for the small ways to step into that calling and test that calling out right now. Because it sounds like you did that exact same thing.
I did. Yes.
When, you know, you're feeling this change from maybe vocation, and all of a sudden here's this opportunity, and it's almost like stepping into your calling is just taking the next step of obedience, doing the next thing that God's told you to do.
Yeah, yeah. God's calling is both to His Word, it's mm-hmm. a ministry of His Word, and it's a ministry to people. Mm-hmm. And so right now, if you sense that God is maybe asking you to go down a road of vocational ministry, man, get in His Word as much as you can, begin to learn the Word mm-hmm. as deeply and richly as possible, and then learn how to love people well, because it takes both. You can't just do one or the other. Yeah.
And the service suggestion for Warren is spot on. I think here's one thing I would add to that, and this may go into your earlier question about what is holding people back.
Yeah.
People, I think, have a fear of failure, and they're hesitant to jump into that. And on the service side of things, I think sometimes people are hesitant because they're like, well, what if I fail? What if I'm no good at that? And one of the things I have learned to tell students over the years is, listen, if you jump in someplace and you fail, that's okay. It's important to know where you're gifted, but it's also, to some extent, just as important to know where you're not gifted, because you need to know what you're not wired to do, because some people say yes all the time. They're people pleasers. And so they need to know where to say no. That's not an excuse not to serve in those particular areas for a limited time. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the best way to learn where you're gifted is to begin by finding out maybe where you're not gifted. And that's okay. Like, that is completely okay. Yeah. And I think sometimes we just see people on stage, or we see people who are successful in ministry, or students see people who are successful, and they're like, well, if I step into something and I don't reach that, or I'm not successful, then I'm a failure. Mm-hmm. And I think it's people need permission to quote-unquote fail. I wouldn't call that a failure. I would say that you've learned someplace that you're not gifted.
Yeah.
But I think it's important for people to recognize that, hey, it's okay to jump in. If that's not your place, that's okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've established all Christians have a calling on their lives to live for God, to glorify Him, to make disciples. But there are certain people that God calls specifically for unique positions of ministry leadership, whether it's pastoral, working something like the state convention, being a missionary. So there are those unique places of calling. Talk to somebody who maybe is in your shoes where you are right now, because I had the benefit of, I kind of sensed this call earlier on. I went to Bible college, then I went to seminary and kind of begin to test that call out. But I talked to students, especially when I was doing student ministry, students and college students who they didn't feel that at the beginning. They started down this road of, you know, doing a business degree at the U of A. Halfway through, all of a sudden, now they feel called into ministry. They're not sure. They've got maybe some student loan debt. They've got mom and dad who expect them to start making a certain salary once they get done. And they're like, well, like I don't know. I feel this call to ministry, but I'm going to just do this for a while. Or, you know, I'm going to go and get a backup degree and kind of a plan B. Talk to that person who's wrestling with this call, but also this plan that they already had for themselves, or maybe that their parents had for them.
Yeah. So for me, I'm a big believer in just clearly asking God to give signs of open doors and closed doors, and trust His sovereignty in those things. Mm-hmm. In general, I have encouraged people, stay on the path you're on until God makes it clear that there's another pathway for you. Mm-hmm. But I would say above all else, though it's difficult to displease parents, especially if you're a people pleaser, but that if you are where God wants you to be, that's the place to be. But also don't neglect praying for their hearts to be changed and for them to be able to have eyes to see what God's calling you to.
And you're married, and your spouse married a banker. They didn't marry a pastor, and they're trying to work through that.
But we can all agree.
That would be my wife, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, we can all agree, though, that the safest place to be is in the center of God's will.
Yeah, for sure.
And so with all the voices and with all the decisions and the lists of pros and cons that are out there, at the end of the day, when you find the will of the Lord and His desires have been embedded into your soul, into your heart, into your mind, and He is calling you out to something, you're never going to be satisfied. You will be restless no matter what until you find yourself following the will of the Lord.
Yeah,
that's true.
That restlessness, it reminds me of something else, Warren, that you said earlier. I'd love to hear both of y'all's thoughts on. Warren, you said that, you know, a ministry calling, vocational ministry was one of the, I don't know if you said the highest calling, one of the best callings. You put a high bar on what it means to be in ministry. Someone listened to this and you know, you referenced, you know, the six-figure salary in the other jobs. You were pursuing nursing originally. Make a case for that. Why should someone see ministry leadership as one of the best or highest callings that's out there?
Yeah, it's kingdom vision. You're dealing with eternity. This is temporary. We are dealing with an eternity when we talk about shepherding people to the Lord God and trying to equip people for the good works that God has prepared beforehand for them to do. And what God calls when He calls a shepherd is an equipper, someone that gets to involve and invest in people's lives so that they can find the goodness and the honor and the beauty that is in the Lord. And it becomes this pursuit, a personal pursuit of God that then translates into the people that you have been called to. And so you're loving the Word, you're loving people, and you're getting to point them to something that is much bigger and better. It's more than just living for a paycheck. You're living in a, what does Romans say? You're a living sacrifice. And we're all called to do that. Every Christian's called to do that. Yeah. Absolutely. But it is in a way where we can just show people how they can thrive in God's kingdom.
Yeah. Any additional thoughts, Bill?
Oh, that's good. Well said.
That is good. Well,
you're just saying that because I'm your boss now.
Okay, that's a great segue. Warren just said that he is Bill's boss now. If you know Bill, you heard him earlier talk about you heard him talk about you still work at First Baptist Church Hot Springs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. There's like First Baptist Church Hot Springs, Hot Springs Baptist. Did it ever get confusing?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
People show up at your church going
to all the time. Yeah. Funerals. I actually had a parent years ago drop their kids off for summer camp at Hot Springs Baptist Church. Yeah. So it happens a lot.
Did you take them?
It happens a lot. No.
Did you take them to camp?
No. They actually called us and said, hey, we got some of your kids for summer camp because we were going to the same summer camp.
Gotcha. So you just kind of met up.
Yes.
So thinking of God's call, is God's call like, is it the same thing forever? I mean, you were felt called to be a pastor, but now all of a sudden you see this new calling at the state convention. Does God change our calls, or what does that look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Orge in his books talks about general ministry assignment and specific ministry assignment. Yeah. And so general ministry assignment, I was for sure that God was calling me into vocational ministry for my life.
Right.
The specific assignment, I thought I also knew. I thought
I did too.
I thought I was going to be the 40-year youth guy. And but then he opened the door for the generations pastor position there at the church, which I greatly enjoyed. And then now he's opened the door to come to the convention. So yes, that specific assignment does change. There's a few people that get the opportunity to stay at the same place their whole ministry, but that seems to be rare, I would say, nowadays, especially given how mobile our society is.
So what were some of the things you had to work through as you went from, you know, generations pastor to you're thinking about convention? Like, how were some of the ways that God moved in your life, convinced you, convicted you, showed you what the calling was next?
Yeah, so in generally, how God has worked in my life is it's usually situational. There's usually a situation that will arise where God begins nudging me toward a certain way. I don't mind change, but when I can get my mind set on something that I'm going to be somewhere a while, sometimes God has to just kind of nudge me into that.
Yeah.
So it was that way when I was at Lone Oak. I was there for a little over 8 years. I really thought I was going to be there longer, wasn't looking to leave. God just kind of surprised us with going to First Hot Springs, and then again, thought I was going to be the long-term youth guy, and I was for about 10 years at Hot Springs.
Yeah.
And then I began taking on some other responsibilities in the church that I began to really enjoy as well, and working with parents more and seeing how much I could impact students through through their parents, and kind of where I had one foot on each side of the fence, one in youth ministry, one in more parent-type, generation-type ministry, next-gen stuff.
Yeah.
And so then got the chance to step into the generations position, which they had created at that time, and kind of really gave me the opportunity to stay in youth or move to the generations position.
Mm-hmm.
And then now with the convention kind of the same way, just some things that have unfolded over the last probably six or seven months, just kind of clear. God was just kind of opening the door for the position here. So, I mean, just lots of little things. I say little things, but lots of things that looking back, you can say, okay, the timing was just right on that. The timing was just right on that, and just kind of see how it came together.
And we're thrilled to have him. I mean, you can see the steps all along the way of how God has prepared this to happen. And so we see God's handwriting in this. You know, the convention work is so unique because in our bylaws, our constitution, we exist for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
We are here to serve the local church, which we all three love deeply.
Yes.
We
yes,
consider
we
it to be the front lines. We know that that is where God uses his church to influence the culture and to call people. The second reason that we exist is to bring people into cooperation for missions and evangelism. And the ultimate mission is to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, to all the tribes, tongues, and nations.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the real two reasons that we exist. And I'm sure Bill's heart is joined with ours in order to see that accomplished. Serve the church.
Yeah, absolutely.
See the mission advanced. That's it.
Yep. Bill, what are you excited about? Quick thought. What are you excited about stepping into this new role?
How long you got? Just kidding.
Other than moving all your Legos into the office.
That's a story for another day. But really, honestly, there's a ton that I'm excited about.
Yeah.
excuse me. Part of it is having the opportunity. One of the things, since I was surprised by my call to ministry, one of the things I've shared with Warren and a couple others that God was very gracious to do for me is bring some people on early in my life who are experienced in youth ministry,
mm-hmm.
who I could take to lunch and I could ask those questions to, and could be people that I could lean on and resource. And mm-hmm. so part of that will be what I get to do in this job. And one of my prayers over the years has been, as gracious as God was to me, to bring along some of those experienced folks in my life to help me and develop me and shape me, that this position will allow me that opportunity to do that. I'm a big fan of Super Summer. I've been involved with Super Summer for a little over 20 years. You've heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
So to be a key part of Super Summer and eventually the executive director of Super Summer, I'm excited about.
Yeah.
I love discipleship stuff. So some of the discipleship responsibilities that I will have.
Absolutely.
I love Lead Defend. I've been involved with Lead Defend really since it launched, probably 10 or so years ago. So to be more involved with Lead Defend, I'm excited about. I'm excited about having the chance to do some youth interims, do some D-Nows and retreats.
Right.
I love to preach, love to teach,
yeah.
do some pulpit supply on Sunday. I mean, I could go on and on, but I mean, really, there's a lot about the job I'm
excited
about.
So if you're listening, and maybe you're not the 18 to 25-year-old, but maybe you're the leader of 18 to 25-year-olds that's on this podcast, know Arkansas Baptist State Convention has people here who want to help you mm-hmm.
That's
with
right.
your ministry. I know I've had, when I was in Kansas City as a student pastor, I had Bill come up and lead a D-Now. We've got Warren is coming to my campus up at First Baptist Rogers to teach our students for a big event we do here in just a couple weeks. know that there are people here at the Arkansas Baptist State Convention who want to help you and see your church and your ministries thrive. Bill, if someone wants to hear more from you, get more Batman hot takes, where can they find you to follow you?
Yeah, so they can email me here at the convention, bnewton@absc.org.
Perfect.
That's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me, other than email me. Feel free to
If they want to follow you, any social media handles that
I am on Facebook. I'll be honest, I don't get on Facebook a lot. I'm on Instagram. I don't get on Instagram a lot.
That's all right.
Mostly where I live is Twitter or X, and that's because it's information-based.
Is it official yet?
According to the app Pitcher, okay. It is, but everybody still calls it Twitter. But I'm an information guy, not so much a pitcher guy when it comes to that stuff. So I there's a lot of great apologists and ministers to follow.
So they should expect some solid retweets, but not so much like the selfie or a picture of your food waiting for dinner.
No, I'm not big on that.
Awesome. Well, Bill, thank you for being here. And
Warren, thanks for having me.
Thanks for co-hosting with me.
Yeah,
and
you
Ryan
can find me
Stead.
On MySpace.
I was about to say, anywhere.
Yeah,
you,
MySpace. Yeah.
Listen, his Zynga is popping.
There you go. Well, hey, on that note... Keep an eye on leaddefend.org. We're about to have the conference at the time of this recording, but Lead Defend is always right around the corner. We look forward to spending time with you next time.
That's it for this episode of Lead Defend. To hear more episodes from the Lead Defend crew, visit absc.org/podcasts. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcast listening site. Want to learn more information about the next Lead Defend conference? Visit leaddefend.org.